Jeremiah 17. If you can maybe just mark that or keep a finger there, or maybe a piece of paper or something. And then also back in Deuteronomy chapter 32 is where we'll begin. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Let's stand together and we'll read these scriptures. Deuteronomy chapter 32. And we're going to read several more verses actually, but just to begin with, I'd like to just read the one verse, verse 29. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse number 29. The Bible says, "Oh, that they were wise. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end." That they would consider their latter end. What a good piece of advice that is. What a good piece of scripture that is. Where God is giving His advice. Oh, that they were wise. Oh, that they understood this. Oh, that they would consider their latter end. They would consider what's going to come at the end of their life. They would consider the latter end. We've tried to emphasize this theme this year in our church that nothing else really matters. When it comes to the end of your life, nothing else matters. And again, this morning, I want you to consider the latter end. I want you to consider the end of your life. Let's have a word of prayer together. Ask God to speak to your heart, please, today. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. I ask you to use this truth to challenge us, to stir us. Lord, help us to have hearts that are set afire for you, hearts that love you truly. We're commanded to love you, Lord, with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength. And Lord, help us to be people that just do not love you with just half our heart or part of our heart, but with our whole heart. And Lord, help us to beware at times when maybe our heart deceives us and we don't love you like we should. Father, use your truth, use the scriptures today to speak to us and challenge us that our love for you would be what it ought to be. Help us to consider, wisely consider, the latter end, please. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. God is saying here in this verse, oh, how I wish that men would just be wise. I wish that men would carefully consider the choices that they make. I wish that they understood how much I love them and how much better their life would be. How much better their life would end up if they would just trust me, if they would just follow me and live for me. God says, oh, how I wish that men would wisely consider their latter end. How do you want your life to end? How do you want your life to end? I want you to consider that thought with me this morning. Turn over to Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17. We'll begin with reading verses 5 and 6 there, but keep your Bible open. We're going to read some other verses as well. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verses 5 and 6, the Bible says this, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and who maketh flesh his arm," in other words, his strength, who's relying on the flesh and so on, "and whose heart departeth from the Lord. It says, for he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited." You know, God tells us in these verses that some men's lives are cursed by God. They don't have the blessing of the Lord upon their life. And why is it? It's because they trust in men. They're trusting in men. They're putting their confidence in self. They're making their own self. They're making flesh their arm, their strength, and so on, what they rely upon and depend upon. Their heart has departed from the Lord, the Bible says. Their lives become like something that is very dry. Their lives become like something that is almost dead. Something that is only surviving in the desert and it doesn't have any fruit growing on it. It's something that is parched. It's something that doesn't see the rain, if you will, or doesn't see the blessings of God in their life. Listen, that kind of life doesn't sound good to me. I don't want to live a life that my confidence was just in myself and my trust was in myself and my heart was departed from the Lord. And so my life ended up being cursed by God instead of blessed. Now look down at verse 7. There's a great contrast here. Verse 7, here's the blessed man. First we read about the cursed man. Now we read about the blessed man, verse 7 and 8. "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of the drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. That there's a great difference. The one that is the blessed man, the blessed of God, the one that's blessed of God. This man is trusting in the Lord. This man has hope and confidence in the Lord. This man's life, the Bible says, will be like something planted by the rivers of water. Its roots will grow deep and its roots will grow strong. And that kind of person will not wither in hard times, or will not wither when the heat comes, will not wither or fade away when the fiery trials even come into their life. This man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope and confidence is in the Lord, that person will be prosperous. Their leaf will be green. They'll be fruitful even when others are not. You know, that's what sounds good to me. That sounds like the man I'd far rather be. I'd rather be a man that's blessed by God than a man that's cursed by God. It reminds us, of course, of Psalm chapter 1, if you want to look there with me. Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter number 1. Hold your place. Psalm chapter 1. And what does the Bible say here? Blessed is the man. Again, we're talking about a blessed man. What kind of man is blessed? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He loves the Scriptures. He meditates in the Scriptures. That kind of person is blessed. It says verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Again, by contrast, verse 4, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. The way, the life, the end of a man whose heart is trusting in the Lord and who is following after the Lord, that is far better. That's far, far better than the one whose heart has forsaken the Lord and who is going their own way. Look with me at Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17 and begin in verse number 9. Jeremiah 17 verse 9. The heart is such an issue in all these things, isn't it? The heart of the cursed man is because it departs from the Lord. The heart of the blessed man is one that has a heart to really follow after the Lord and love His Word and so on. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins. I examine the reins that refers to like the seat of affection. Where your heart's really at. What do you love? It says, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. He says, I examine the heart. I search the heart. I turn the spotlight onto somebody's heart to see where their heart's at. And that's how I determine whether they're going to be blessed of God or cursed of God. Whether they're going to have my blessings upon them or not. Verse number 11 says, as the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not, so he that getteth riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days. And at his end, at the end of his life, shall be a fool. Verse number 13. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed. And they that depart from thee shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. Eric, go ahead and shut all the doors, please, everywhere, would you? Jeremiah 17. Which do we want? Do we want to be the blessed man or the cursed man? Do we want to be the man whose heart is following after the Lord so that God might bless us? Or do we want to be one who has that heart that forsaketh the Lord, that turns away from the Lord? I know which I'd rather be. And I know which ends better. I don't want my life to end in shame. I don't want my life to end like the life of a fool. No, I want the end to have the blessing of the Lord upon my life. What do we want? What do you want? Do you want a life cursed by God or a life blessed by God? What do you want? Do you want a heart that trusts in self or a heart that trusts in God? Do we want a heart that trusts in riches, a heart that lives for self, or a heart that lives for God? What do we want? A heart that lives for earthly things, or a heart that lives for eternal things? What do we want? A life that ends up dry and empty and barren and unfruitful, or a life that ends up with fruit and blessed and established, drinking from the fountains of living water? What do we want? Do we want a life that ends in foolishness and shame, or do we want a life that ends up blessed and honored by Almighty God? You know, sometimes our hearts deceive us, and we even start living for the wrong things. Sometimes our hearts deceive us and we become forgetful of just how good our God is. Sometimes our hearts deceive us and we start forsaking the Lord in the way that we live. Maybe we wouldn't, you know, say that we're forsaking the Lord. And maybe in our heart, there's a part in our heart that really wants to do the right thing and it's sincere and so on. But sometimes we become so deceived by our own heart and our world gets attached to things of this world in a way it should not. And our wonderful Lord God up in heaven is thinking, oh, how I wish that men would just be wise. Oh, I wish that men would consider carefully the choices that they make. Oh, I wish that they just understood how much I love them and how much better their life would be if they'd just trust me and follow me. Deuteronomy 32, 29, turn back there. And God says, oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. Consider their latter end. Consider how you want your life to end up. Do you want your life to end up like the fool or the wise? Do you want your life to end up cursed by God or blessed by God? Consider the latter end. You know, sometimes people's hearts deceive themselves into thinking that other people have it better than they do. Sometimes the children of Israel even got to thinking that other nations had it better than they did. Oh, how wrong we are when we begin to go astray in our thinking. When our opinion of the Lord God begins to diminish. When we allow our hearts to deceive us in that way. Listen, there is no one more than the God, Jehovah God, who wants to bless our lives more than He does. There's no one who wants anything better for our lives than what He does. But yet sometimes our hearts deceive us. You know, the Lord God is so good to His people. He's always been good to His people. Always has been. Right back to the nation of Israel. Right back to the book of Genesis. Right from the beginning of creation until now. And that has never really changed. It's never changed. Turn with me to Deuteronomy 32. Go back and look at verses 1 to 4. The Bible says, "Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all His ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is He." Our God is the rock. His work is perfect. His ways, the Bible says, are always perfect. They're just. They're good. He is a God of truth. We know that He is holy and He is perfect and He is without sin. Listen, there is no God like the God of Israel. And even the world knows that. Even the world knows that. Look what it says down in verse 31. It says, "For their rock is not as our rock." For their rock is not as our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges. Hey, even the world knows that their rock's not like our rock. Their gods and what their hope and so on is not like ours is in the rock, the God of Israel, the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Somehow, though, generations of God's people have allowed their hearts at times to be turned away from the Lord. I don't get why that is, except that our heart is so deceitful. They're prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love, there's an old hymn that says. Why? Why is it? Where sometimes our heart deceives us, sometimes our heart wanders from God, sometimes our heart just becomes too attached to other things. Sometimes generations of God's people have allowed their hearts to be turned away from the Lord. Sometimes we've not followed His Word like we should. Sometimes we've not given Him the priority that we should. Sometimes we've not served Him like we should. Sometimes we've lived selfishly. Sometimes we've just lived for pleasure. Sometimes we've just lived for our own little world instead of living for God. Oh, how foolish and unwise we have been. Deuteronomy chapter 32, and then look there at verses 5 to 8. Verses 5 to 8, it says, "They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not as the spot of His children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. Do ye thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not He thy Father that hath brought thee? Hath He not made thee and established thee? Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when He separated the sons of Adam, He set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel." Do you know that in spite of all that the Lord has done for us, so often His people have allowed their hearts to be turned away from the Lord? As God brought His people out of bondage in Egypt, so He has brought us out of our bondage. He brings us out of the bondage of sin, the chains of sin, and He sets us free. He liberates us. We have freedom in Christ. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. That's all about Christ. We know Christ in our life, and we have eternal life, but we're set free from bondage. We're set free from the chains of sin. God has redeemed us and made us His people. And even not just His people, but He makes us His children. His children. He leads us. He loves us. He guides us. Listen, He cares for us as His own. God has truly blessed His people. Always has. Look what it says down in verse 9. Deuteronomy 32 and beginning in verse 9. It says, "For the Lord's portion is His people. Jacob is the lot of His inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in the waste howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of His eye." The apple of His eye. What was absolutely the affection. What His eye was set upon. What He loved so dearly. It says verse 11, "As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him." Verse 13, "He made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields, and he made him to suck honey out of the rock, and oil out of the flinty rock." God brought His nation, God brought His people out of Egypt, God brought them through the wilderness, God brought them across the Jordan River, God brought them to His promised land. God blessed them, and in a similar way He has blessed us. He allows us to be set free from the bondage of sin. He redeems us. He sets us free. He brings us through. He brings us to a place of victory in life. Our God is good. Sadly, though, in spite of all the Lord has done for us, so often His people have allowed their hearts to be turned away from the Lord. Verse number 15, it speaks of Jeshurun. Jeshurun, and this pictures for us the nation of Israel, God's people. Notice what the Bible says beginning in verse 15. It says, "But Jeshurun," in other words, Israel, God's people, "waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat. Thou art grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook." Sometimes fat in the Bible was considered to be a good thing. You know, He's made us fat. He's blessed us. He's given us so much. But yet, they forsook God. Look what it says. "Then he forsook God which made him." They forsook God which made them. They forsook God which made him, "and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation." Verse 16. "They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God. To gods whom they knew not. To new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God that formed thee. And when the Lord saw it, He abhorred them because of the provoking of His sons and of His daughters. And He said, verse 20, I will hide My face from them. I will see what their end shall be, for they are a very froward generation, children in whom is no faith. How often do we, like Israel, provoke God to jealousy? How often do we, like Israel, provoke Him to jealousy when we just live for ourselves instead of living for Him who made us? How often do we make for ourselves our own little gods in life, and we let other things become the most important thing in our life, and our hearts get turned away from the God who loved us and the God who redeemed us and the God who made us? How that must break His heart. How often have we, like Israel, provoked God to jealousy when we trust in ourselves instead of living by faith and trusting in Him? How often have we, like Israel, provoked God to jealousy when we have just lightly esteemed the Lord our God? And maybe we've taken for granted His goodness in our life. We've taken for granted His gift of salvation, which He purchased for us on the cross of Calvary by the death and by the shed blood of His precious and only begotten Son. How often have we, like Israel, provoked God to jealousy when we've lived for self, or we've lived for pleasure, or we've lived for things of this world, and we've allowed other things to become little gods in our life, little idols in our life? How often have we, like Israel, provoked God to jealousy when we've woken up in the morning and we've gone about our day not even being mindful of God, not stopping to take time and thank God for giving us life, not thanking Him for the gift of salvation, not taking time to pray, not thanking the God who made us for giving us air to breathe that morning and even allowing us to wake up that morning, or for giving us water to drink or food to eat, or giving us feet to walk and hands to be able to work and eyes to see and ears to hear? How often are we just unmindful of Him? We don't think about Him like we should. How often have we, like Israel, provoked God to jealousy when we've woken up in the morning and we've rushed to check our Facebook, and then we ate our breakfast and drove to work and checked our Facebook, and then we spent some time working and checked our Facebook, and then we worked some more and ate our lunch, and at our lunch break we checked our Facebook? Well, we never even spent 5 minutes putting our face in the book, spending time in God's Word, or spending time in prayer, or talking to God, or letting God talk to us. Oh, how often we all neglect Him. We're unmindful of Him. How often have we, like Israel, provoked God to jealousy when we've not encouraged our children to serve the Lord, when we've taught our sons and daughters to only live for earthly success and money, when we've not had the faith to trust God with our own lives and with the lives of our children, when we've not had the faith to trust God and obey Him in the area of our finances? And God is saying to us, He's saying, oh, how I wish that they would just be wise. I wish that men would carefully consider the choices that they're making and how they're living. Oh, I wish they understood how much I love them and how much better their life could be if they would just follow after Me with all their heart. God says, oh, I wish that men would just wisely consider their latter end, consider how they want their life to end up. Again, it said there in verse 29, oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. What is wrong? What is wrong? What is it that has happened to us? Why is it that so many generations of God's people have turned their hearts away from the Lord? How is it that so many have turned their hearts away from the God who loves us and who sent His Son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins? Let me share with you a few thoughts quickly. The introduction was the big part of the message. Here's a few thoughts quickly. What are some problems that God sometimes sees in His people? Number one, we become foolish in our thinking. Number one, if you're writing it down, we become foolish in our thinking. Go back to verse number 4, Deuteronomy 32 and verse 4. It says, He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all His ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is He. But notice what it says about God's people. They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of His children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. Do ye thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not He thy Father that hath brought thee? He brought you out of Egypt. He's brought us out of sin. He's saved us. He's loved us. Hath He not made thee and established thee? What are some problems that God sometimes sees in His people? What is it that causes us to sometimes maybe live in that unwise way? Number one, it's because we become foolish in our thinking. What the Bible says there in verse 6, do ye thus requite the Lord, O foolish people? Is that really how we're going to requite or to repay the Lord for all that He's done for us? Are we really so foolish, God is saying, that we're going to repay His love for us and we're going to repay His grace and repay His mercy just with foolish or perverse or sinful or ungodly living? How wrong and wicked that would be. Are we really going to just requite or repay the Lord for being our Father, for being our Savior, for giving His Son's life for us, for bringing us from our sin, from changing our life, for blessing us and giving us a home in heaven, for all that He's done for us and will do for us? Is that really how we're going to repay the Lord, by just living for self, living for things of this earth? Our God is holy and He longs for us to be holy. He is righteous and wants us to live righteous. He has shown mercy and He wants us to show mercy. He's offered us forgiveness and wants us to forgive others. He's the truth and He wants us to be untruthful. Be truthful. Why would we ever be untruthful? How sad it is that some have turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. The grace of God that saved us is the grace of God that sets us free from sin to live a new life in Christ. God's grace is not this license to sin. We're set free by a holy, wonderful, gracious God so that we can live our lives for Him. Why would we ever repay Him in any other way than what He deserves? Why would we ever repay Him with just foolish living or low living when He calls us to live high and live a new life in Christ? Let's not be foolish in our thinking. Let's not repay the Lord for all that He's done for us by just simply living for self or living a life of sin. Let's live for Him and let's seek to please Him in all that we do. What are some problems God sometimes sees in His people, I think? Number one is when we become foolish in our thinking. We become foolish in our thinking. That we repay a wonderful God, we repay Him with very poor and selfish living. What's number two? We forget. Number two, we forget. Number one, we become foolish in our thinking. Number two, we forget. Down in verse number 18. It says, of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful. Unmindful. We're not keeping our mind on Him. We're not thinking about Him. And hast forgotten God that formed thee. You know, sometimes we're just not mindful of God like we should be, are we? Sometimes we just get so busy in life and so busy in our days that we don't stop and take time to think about how good our God is. We don't stop to think about Him and thank our Lord for all that He's done for us. And I think it breaks the heart of God when we neglect Him. I think it breaks the heart of our God when we're unmindful of Him. How could we ever do that? Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. It's because sometimes, even deceiving our own selves, our heart is just drawn away to other things. Our heart is just occupied with other things. And we become busy with other things. And we become unmindful. We don't even think about our God like we should. We don't spend time thinking about Him as much as we should. Sometimes we simply forget. You forget. You know what? Thinking about Him will make us more thankful for Him. It'll help to keep our heart and our priorities in the right place. What are some problems that God sometimes sees in His people? What are some problems that God sees and sees our heart and going maybe the wrong way? We become foolish in our thinking. Number two, we forget. Number three, we lose faith. we lose faith. Verse number 20. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be. For they are a very froward generation, children in whom is no faith. Children in whom is no faith. You know what? Sometimes Christians trust in themselves. We trust in doctors for healing. We trust in friends' advice as to what we should do. We trust in our boss at work to take care of us. We maybe sometimes trust in what the world says or trust the world's philosophy rather than trusting in what God's Word says. Who are we supposed to pray? Who are we supposed to pray to for healing ultimately? To God. To God. And if it be His will, then He will heal the sick. I'm not saying we can't go to doctors for advice and help. I think we should. You know, God can use people and use their wisdom and knowledge to help us. But listen, ultimately the one who our faith and trust and confidence must be in for healing is the Lord. And we need to pray to the Lord and seek the Lord. And if it be His will that He would bring healing. Our confidence and trust must be in Him. It's good to seek wise and godly counsel. It's often unwise to just listen to the opinion of our peers. But ultimately, listen, it's the Lord whose direction and guidance we ought to seek in every area of our life. Why would we just go and just not trust God and not seek God and so on? Lack of faith. Lack of faith. We're to trust the Lord. We're to walk in faith. Sometimes God's people have no faith when it comes to trusting God with their finances and stewardship. But we're supposed to trust in the Lord and obey His Word so that He can bless us. It's a better ending. It's a better ending. In so many areas of life, Christians often lose faith and just trust in themselves rather than trusting in God. Rather than seeking God, who made us and who loves us and who always will want what is best for us and who always knows what is best for us, whose way is perfect, whose way is always just and good. Sometimes we just get to trust in ourselves and we go our own way. Why is that? We lose faith. We lose faith. We're not willing to trust God sometimes that maybe what He wants is really best for us. We're not willing to trust God that if He tells me to do such and such, well, that might be something I don't want to do. Well, if God wants it, it must be what's best for you, and we are to trust Him. We don't sometimes just don't want to trust Him in different areas. We lose faith. What are some problems God sometimes sees in His people? We become foolish in our thinking. We become foolish in our thinking. And we don't repay God in a way that He really deserves. We repay Him with selfish living, or repay Him with sinful living, or repay Him with just what is absolutely foolish. We forget sometimes. We're just unmindful of Him. We don't think about Him like we should. We neglect Him. We lose faith. Number four, we become froward. We become froward. Again, we see that in verse 20. Deuteronomy 32 and verse number 20, it said, and He said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be, for they are a very froward generation. We're froward when we go our own way. When we stubbornly refuse to do things God's way. When we don't want to hear what the Word of God teaches us to do. Listen, we're in trouble. That's what it means to be a froward generation. The froward just really wants to go their own way. Instead of wanting to go in God's way, in the way that is the best way, in the way that is the proven way, in the way that always in the end comes out better, we say, no, I want to go this way. I want to go my way. I want to do this. I want to do that. Sometimes we become very froward, very stubborn. Listen, God does not bless the froward. He does not bless the froward. What are some problems God sometimes sees in His people? We become foolish in our thinking. We forget. We lose faith. We become froward. And number five, we forsake. We forsake. Look at verse number 15 with me. Verse number 15. Verse 15, but Jeshurun waxed fat. Thou art and kicked. Kicked. That's a part of the being froward. Thou art waxed in fat. Thou art grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God which made him. Then he forsook God which made him. Notice this expression. And lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. I think we forsake the Lord our God when we don't properly esteem our God and how valuable He is. we forsake the Lord and stop loving the Lord like we should when we lightly esteem all that the Lord has done for us and all that He's blessed us with. We forsake the Lord and we allow our hearts to be turned away from following after Him when we lightly esteem Him, the Bible says. When we don't properly value Him, when we don't properly consider Him, when we don't appreciate what the rock of our salvation, what the Lord our God, what our Savior Jesus Christ, what He's done for us. When we just lightly esteem it, when we don't properly consider it and value it and appreciate it like we should, we're going to forsake Him. We're going to forsake Him. How wrong it is to lightly esteem Him. To not value Him like we should. Notice what it says down in verse number 20. Deuteronomy 32:20. And He said, I will hide My face from them. I will see what their end shall be. I'll see what their end shall be. Some will be blessed. Some will be cursed. Because they're forgetting Me. They're becoming foolish. They're losing faith. They're becoming froward. They're forsaking Me. I'll see what their end shall be. Listen, life ends far worse when our hearts are deceived and we turn away from God. Down in verse 29, look at it again with me and take the advice of God where He says, oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. God says to us, He pleads with us, oh, how I wish that men would just be wise. I wish that men would carefully consider the choices that they make. Oh, I wish that they just understood how much I love them and how much better the ending of their life would be if they'd love Me and live for Me and follow Me with all their heart. God says, oh, how I wish that men would just wisely consider their latter end. Consider how their life will end up if they go that direction. Listen, don't become foolish in your thinking. How dare we repay God's grace and God's goodness to us with our own just maybe selfish living or sinful living? We shouldn't repay Him like that. Now, I understand salvation is a free gift to us, but listen, if He's done so much for us, shouldn't we live for Him? And how dare we repay God's goodness and God's grace and God's mercy to us and all that He's done for us, His gift of salvation. How dare we repay it with living less than what He really deserves? Don't become foolish in your thinking. Number two, don't forget all that the Lord has done for you. Don't forget to spend time with Him. Be mindful of Him. Spend time in God's Word. Spend time in prayer every day. Don't neglect Him. When we are unmindful of Him, when we're not thinking about Him, when we don't take time for Him, we're in trouble. I encourage you to spend time in your Bible every day. Spend time in prayer. Spend time with the Lord. Number three, don't lose faith. Don't lose faith. We cannot properly live the Christian life without trusting in God. It doesn't work. It's a life that must be lived by faith. It's a life of faith and prayer and obedience. Number four, don't become froward. Don't go your own way. What does the Bible tell us in Proverbs 3? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy paths. Don't become froward. And number five, don't forsake. Don't forsake. Don't esteem God lightly. Don't fail to properly value and properly consider and properly cherish all that the Lord has done for you. We'll forsake Him when we just lightly esteem Him. We don't value Him. We don't consider what He's done for us, and we don't value it and cherish it and treasure it like we should. Don't become foolish. Don't forget. Don't lose faith. Don't become froward. Don't forsake. Don't forsake. Consider the latter end. Consider how you want your life to end up. Blessed or cursed? Blessed or cursed? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, please challenge us that we would be wise, that we would consider the latter end. God, we are making choices today that You are seeing. And it's determining whether we're having Your blessing or cursing upon our life. We're making choices every day that are determining how our life is going to end up 20, 30, 40, 50 years from now. Oh, Lord, help us to be wise, to consider the rock of our salvation, the God who loves us. Consider all that you've done for us. Help us, Lord, to live for you like we ought to love you like we ought to not let our hearts be turned away from you.